Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich from Crime Talk, and thank you for tuning in. We have another busy docket today, so let's get started. First, an Evelyn Boswell update. Second, a Gannon stocks update. Third, a lot of people have wanted to know, and I'm going to try to answer this question, why can't the courts in Idaho just make Miss Vallow say where the children are? Fourth, Harvey Weinstein is working on making himself a better person. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich with Crime Talk, and thank you for tuning in. As always, we ask you, please, if you have not already subscribed, please do so. Hit that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we put out new content, which is almost on a daily basis, as well as receive notifications of when we go live. Now, also, we want to know what you think about what we talk about today, so please leave a comment below. First, an Evelyn Boswell update. For those of you who do not know, Evelyn Boswell was the toddler missing in Tennessee. The mother, Megan Boswell, is in custody for making false statements for police. Megan Boswell is in custody for making false statements to police. The district attorney filed a motion to increase the bond of Megan Boswell based upon new information. A body found wearing the exact same clothing as Evelyn Boswell was located on a property that's owned by Megan Boswell's grandmother. Apparently, her grandmother and brother live there. Based upon this search, although no positive identification has been made, one could reasonably conclude that it is the remains of Evelyn Boswell. So the district attorney filed a motion to increase the bond, which was previously set at $25,000 cash, property, or surety. Well, now the court has increased the bond of Megan Boswell to $150,000 cash, property, or surety. So it seems very unlikely, since Ms. Boswell was unable to raise enough money to post the bond of $25,000, that she certainly will be unlikely to raise $150,000 to bond out. As you may recall, Megan Boswell's mother and her boyfriend are also in custody, brought back based upon a warrant for a theft of a vehicle, as well as wanting to be questioned by the investigators in this particular case. Now, more than likely, someone has provided information to locate the remains of what police believe to be the remains of Evelyn Boswell. We'll be curious to see who, in fact, provided that information. It's clear, based upon statements of Megan Boswell's attorney, that he was not involved in that because he found out about this discovery on Friday afternoon, went to see Megan Boswell, and he was the first one to have provided that information to her. So clearly, he was not in the loop, and that would not have taken place if it was her. My hunch is it was more than likely the boyfriend of the mom trying to help himself out, but we will wait and see. That's a little speculation on my part. I know we try to keep it fact-based here, but that's just my experience here of being a defense attorney for 25 years. We've said this before. The threat of imminent incarceration tends to break the bonds of loyalty. And if this guy knew where something was, i.e. the body, he's going to use whatever he can to help himself. That's just the way it is. Sad outcome. Unfortunately, I think most people anticipated this would be the result. And we will see how this case progresses through the court system. Megan Boswell is still waiting for charges to come down via indictment for the false statements to the police officers. And we'll see if anyone is charged here shortly for the death of Evelyn Boswell. Sad, sad situation. Next on the docket, a Gannon stock update. Well, stepmom, for those of you who do not know, Letitia Stock has been arrested, and she was arrested in South Carolina. She was extradited back to the state of Colorado, where she had a little bit of a mishap, where apparently her hands may have slipped out of her handcuff, and she may have attacked the deputy sheriff along the way, which delayed her return back to Colorado by a day because they had to book her into a Wichita, Kansas jail, basically for safekeeping while they sorted the situation out. Well, she is back in Colorado. She is not going anywhere. She's facing first-degree murder charges, and she has court coming up here shortly. To add to Letitia Stock's problems, she had a job as a teacher forthcoming, but the school district here in Colorado Springs, the Academy District 20, rescinded her job offer, and the school is saying it had nothing to do with the fact that she's now charged with first-degree murder and completely incapable of showing up and appearing for that job, but because they stated that during their due diligence for any employment application, that it was determined that there were inconsistencies that were not compatible with employment. So although that is the least of Ms. Stock's problems headed her way, she can just add that to the pile for sure. Now, next on the docket, let's talk about the Lori Vallow matter. And I had lots and lots of questions in the comments where people wanted to know, why can't the court or the police simply just make Miss Vallow state where the children are so that they can make sure they're okay or if they're deceased? Well, let's analyze this, okay? First, as you may recall, Miss Vallow had basically a child protective services case. Here they call them a dependency and neglect case where the parents have to show up. And that was originally started because apparently Miss Vallow did not show up for that court appearance and there was going to be a contempt hearing because she failed to show up and say where the children are. So had Miss Vallow returned for that court appearance and asked at that point to produce the children and she did not, she could be held in contempt. And the judge could say, I'm going to impose a contempt order and you'll be entitled to a hearing. And you can, you know, normally face up to jail time for direct contempt for not answering the court's question. You know, direct contempt is something that you do in front of the judge by, you know, using inappropriate language, flipping them off, just doing something you're not supposed to do, not answering the questions, things like that. But in this particular case, that would have been difficult because Ms. Vallow was under investigation. Anything that she says can and will be used against her. And so she kept her mouth shut. She has a Fifth Amendment right under the Constitution of the United States, as well as any applicable provisions under the state of Idaho, where she does not have to be a witness against herself or to provide any statements that would incriminate her in any way. Now, even if there are no statements that could be incriminating, she says, well, the children are with family and friends here, but I don't want you to go talk to them because maybe they're a part of this ends of the earth organization, cult, religion, whatever you want to call it, that the Vallows and her husband, Chad Daybell, belong to. But she's chosen to completely ignore that. Well, now criminal charges have been imposed. Now the burden is always and completely on the government to show that these children have been abandoned. She has not been charged with first degree murder. She hasn't been charged with any form of murder whatsoever. So they're stuck with basically this charge that is usually used in kind of a dependency and neglect type of proceeding to basically say, you're a bad parent. We want to take your children away. And here they're trying to use it saying, produce your children, bad mom. And so the bottom line is the state is the one that always bears the burden. They have to prove the charges that have been filed, and they have not been able to charge murder, whether it be first-degree murder, second, manslaughter, anything along those lines, because, as we've seen before, if you don't have a body, it's very difficult to do so. The Patrick Frazee case down in Teller County here in Colorado was very different because you had an eyewitness saying, we burned the body. We don't have that here. whomever knows, if anyone else knows about it, has not said a word. But the bottom line is the police cannot interrogate her because she's represented by counsel. The court can't order her to talk about where the children are because the court can't abandon its neutral and impartial role as a judge to do so. But they can make life very difficult for her. For example, when they ask for a bond reduction, they say, you know what, you're right, that bond is a little high. Let's post that $1 million bond to get out. Still hasn't done it. She's still in custody. $1 million bond is very, very difficult to post. I can tell you, only had one client post a bond that big, and that's because his best friend literally had hundreds of millions of dollars, and $1 million wasn't that big a deal. So that's tough. Most people can't do that. Most people can't make a bond over a couple hundred thousand dollars because you have to have that equity there either to post the bond in a house or property or post cash, or you have to have collateral to give to the bonds person that if you get out and you don't show up, they're going to take it to pay off their insurance company to pay the bond. One way or the other, you still have to have that collateral. Color me suspicious. I don't think she's going to make the bond, but I could be wrong. Who knows? Maybe everyone will rally together to do that. All of her supporters, we'll see. But she's still there as of the taping of this video. Hope that answers your question as to why the court can't just order her to produce the children. Let me know. Do you think that's unfair? Do you think we should, you know, abandon the Constitution on a case-by-case basis? I don't think that we should. It's there to protect everybody. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. You never know when it could be you, a close family member, and a friend in a similar situation, and you would want their rights protected just as zealously as the attorney for Ms. Vallow is going to protect her rights. So, next on the docket, Harvey Weinstein is working on becoming a better person. Yes, I know you may find it hard to believe based upon all the stories that we've heard about Mr. Weinstein. Obviously, he was convicted of two counts of sexual assault. He was remanded into custody after that verdict some 2 weeks ago. But Mr. Weinstein is just now arriving to jail. He is at Rikers Island in the infirmary as we speak because he's had kind of a tough go of it. As you may recall, he was arrested and almost immediately taken to the hospital because he was complaining of chest pains. He ultimately had to have surgery, whereupon he was returned back to the hospital. Apparently, he tried to walk without using his walker, fell and hit his head. And so these are just little things in karma, perhaps, and Mr. Weinstein is figuring out perhaps if he had just been a nicer person, perhaps that would have been the case. And Avi has also said in my video, The 12 Undeniable Truths of Life, as seen by a criminal defense attorney, one of the things I say is it just never hurts to be nice. Why? Because I do believe in karma. And if you do good things will happen to you. And you don't have to be a jerk like Mr. Weinstein was throughout the better part of his adult life. And now it's coming back to haunt him. So we wish Mr. Weinstein best wishes and hopes that he gets better. We certainly want him to be able to show up for his sentencing. And unfortunately, given the length of the sentence that he is coming for him, and it's unfortunate for him, I should say, and given his age, he probably won't see freedom during this lifetime. And finally, on the docket today, we have our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Our dumb criminal contestant of the day comes from Portland, Oregon. Christopher James, 40, apparently thought it would be a good idea to enter into a voodoo donut store with a hatchet and demand a box of donuts. And obviously, if anyone's ever eaten at a voodoo donut store, they are somewhat good. They've got some weird flavors, and they're different, to say the least. but I don't know if they're worthy of going to prison for. And that's what's more than likely going to happen to Mr. James, because when Mr. James fled with his pink box of voodoo donuts, they also found his hatchet, and he was promptly arrested, eating a donut. This is not a smart move, Mr. James. You are going to prison. You cannot take things of value from other people. That's a crime. And then when you take it with a deadly weapon, you've now created an aggravated robbery over roughly a $20 box of donuts. Was that box of donuts worth spending the next 10 years of your life in prison? I would venture to say probably not. Perhaps his attorney can come up with a voodoo defense and say perhaps he was under a spell and he did not know what he was doing and therefore cannot be held criminally responsible for his conduct. Now, finally, let's talk about a little shameless self-promotion here. We started this channel because we wanted to be able to explain in a little more detail about criminal cases, and we try to do that. We really do try our best. Last week, I was unable to be here for most of the week because I was in a trial, but I won a case that most people, well, everybody told me I could not win. But I did, because that's what trial lawyers do. They win cases that nobody thinks should be going to trial, let alone actually winning. So we like to think that we have some expertise to provide to you. And we will try to do that in our best way possible. And if we make a mistake, we will let you know, because guess what? I am anything but perfect. We are all flawed individuals. We are all flawed human beings. And if we mess up, we'll let you know. But there's several ways here where you can get more of me if you would like to. First, you could go to our Patreon page. You can go to our Instagram page. You can go to our Facebook page. You can go to our website, scottreich.com, and sign up for our free weekly email. We don't try to sell you things. We will not sell your name. It's just additional information that we have that we cannot necessarily cover all the time on this particular channel in the time that we have available. So we send it out to you, and you can see what I think is interesting out there. Guess what? Other than the Patreon, it's free. And the Patreon, worth it, because you're helping support this so that we can put out more content, more videos, and hopefully better quality. If you look at some of our previous videos that I was doing, it's gotten a lot better over the year. I assure you of that. And you can click the link below and go to our Teespring and get our Crime Talk merch. What's the best way to be close to Crime Talk? Then wrap yourself in a Crime Talk t-shirt or sweatshirt, or have your morning cup of coffee in a Crime Talk mug. And for those of you who can't always catch us on YouTube, you can also get this on a podcast wherever you download your podcast from. And it's simply Crime Talk with Scott Reich. And wow, our numbers have gone through the roof and we are on our way. We want to be the number one true crime genre podcast out there, but that can only be done with you. But we're going to try to continually put out great content so you find it worthy of listening and watching. Thank you. Have a great day.